the 8th chapter. And I trust your study of the life of Christ has been a blessing and a help to you. And looking forward to trying to study this with you here this morning. Mark chapter number 8. Stand with me if you're willing and able. We'll read a few verses, the next section here. The verses we're going to read this morning, only Mark records this event. None of the other gospel writers record this. And so it has a pretty unique standing in the Word of God concerning the record of the life of Christ. And it doesn't, just because Mark dealt with it doesn't mean it didn't happen. Just because somebody else didn't confirm it, this absolutely happened. And I'm excited to bring some thoughts to you this morning. Verse number 22, the Bible said, "And he cometh to Bethsaida. They bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes," ain't that interesting? Yes. Are y'all in the building? Y'all think that's normal? Amen. That ain't normal. The Bible said he spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him. He asked him if he saw aught. Something very interesting. The only time I can find in the life of Christ in doing a miracle that you'll find anything recorded that resembles this only takes place in this miracle account. And he looked up and said, "I see men as trees walking." And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. He was restored and saw every man clearly. He sent him away to his house, saying, "Neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town." And I'll give you my thought here in a little while. Got a lot of introduction I want to give to you. The message is real short if we can get there today. But I'll let you be seated. Let's pray together. Ask the Lord to help us. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we humbly bow one more time today. Lord, as we had time with you through the night last night and early into the morning, Lord, we've prayed, Lord, as we made our way in the house of God on several occasions already, we pause to do so one more time. Lord, we're not praying out of tradition. We're praying out of a sense of our own need. Lord, we need you today. We need your help. We need your touch. We need your anointing. We need your blessing to be upon the Word of God. Lord, without you, truly, it is so. We can do nothing. And so I pray this morning, Lord, that you would anoint our voice, and Lord, anoint our mind, and anoint our words that we have to say today, given us by God to give to these that have gathered here today. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, we'd rest in the power of God, preaching the demonstration of your Spirit. I pray for those that have entered in today that, Lord, need a word from the Lord. I pray this morning you'd open their ears, as has already been prayed on several occasions publicly here this morning, that you would open the eyes of those that are gathered. May they be able to see and behold wondrous things from the Word of God. May they be able to see the beauty of Christ and, Lord, the beauty of holiness. And, Lord, I pray you do an eternal work here today in hearts and lives of men and women and boys and girls, wherever they may be, whatever their spiritual condition is. I pray you'd meet them where they are and do what only you can do. Lord, for all that you accomplish and all that you do, we'll give you the glory and the praise for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You study the Word of God. We understand we're in the account and the record of the life of Christ. But Christ had been prophesied about long before he ever come. Brother Tim has been teaching through the servant songs in the Sunday school hour for months now, and they've been a blessing. I was reminded as I began to study the particular text that we're in, and we come to this miracle of the healing of the blind man of Bethsaida, was reminded of the prophecies that Brother Tim has taught through, and the Word of God gives us in Isaiah 42, verses number 6 and 7, and again in verse number 16, For the Bible said, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will behold thine hand, will keep thee and give thee a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles. And then the Bible said, to open the blind eyes, to bring out of prison, bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house, to open the blind eyes. It was a prophecy by which was given all the way back in the Old Testament concerning that when Christ would come, he would open the blind eyes. Verse 16 of Isaiah 42 said, and I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. And so the idea again is communicated, and we could go on and on, that it was prophesied that when the Messiah, when the Son of God, when the Savior would come, that he is going to bring the blind by a way that they knew not. He's bringing them out of darkness. He's going to take the darkness away and give them light, which is a metaphor for the difference between being blind and able to see. The blind are in the dark. Those that can see are in the light. And so it was prophesied. We emphasize that. Because this is something we're going to study today, and I want to draw your attention to something in just a moment. When John the Baptist had been in prison for preaching, and Herod and Herod's shack up little honey got mad at John the Baptist and put him in prison. After being there for some time, John the Baptist sends some messengers to go to the Lord Jesus. And he needed an answer to confirm that Jesus was the Christ. And he wanted that affirmed by some message that Christ would give him. Interesting that when Jesus begins to answer these men, he said in Luke 7:22, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. Listen, the very first thing that he tells him to tell John, how that the blind see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. To the poor, the gospel is preached. And so Jesus said, you go back and you tell John the things that are being done. And the first thing you need to communicate to him, tell him how the blind see. And he knew that John would make the connection to the prophecies that had been made over and over and over. And when Christ would come, he would bring men out of darkness into light. He would open the blinded eyes. He would show the blind and lead the blind into a way in which they had never known before. And so that would be enough for John the Baptist. And when they would return and they would say, John, you're not going to believe the things that have been done. Jesus wants you to know first and foremost that the blind see. And so this is a characteristic prophesied that Christ would do. When we come to our text this morning, we find such an instant. This is not the only instant in which we find that Christ would perform a miracle upon a man that was in blindness. Christ had healed many blind people throughout his ministry. Again, in Mark 7, verse number 21, the verse before, the disciples of John had come and Christ was going to give an answer. The Bible said that they brought all sorts of people there with plagues and diversity of things, and Christ was going to heal them. And the Bible said, and many of the blind he healed. And so there were many. This seems to be a particular focus in the life and the miracle ministry of Christ was his compassion upon those that were blind, doing a miracle for them so that they could see. Matthew 21 and in verse number 14 speaks of the fact that when Christ was in the temple, and there as he was in the temple, they would bring blind people to him there. And in the midst of the temple, in the midst of the sacrifices and the worship and all the religious activity, the Bible said that Christ, He began to heal the blind that were in the temple. And so these are general verses stating the fact that there were many, many, many multitudes of blind people that Christ healed, because there were many in that day, and even in the Middle East in this day, even in spite of all the medical advances, there seems to be some reason for that part of the world. Blindness is something that is great. As far as specifically recorded miracles, beyond these general statements that he healed many blind, and many blind were brought unto him and he gave them their sight, there are specifically recorded miracles that had involved the blind being given sight. And these are given the most attention of all of Christ's particular miracles. It is mentioned over and over. In fact, no less than 7 to 8 times, depending on how you see some of these things recorded throughout the synoptic gospels. There is as many as 8 blind men that Jesus made to see. Now that's more specific than causing the deaf to hear, causing the dead to be raised, causing lepers to be cleansed. We have no less than 8 blind men Jesus made to see. He healed 2 at a time in Matthew 9, verse 27 through 31. You'll find that in Matthew 12, 22, and 23, there was one blind man, both blind and dumb, and Christ healed him of his condition. In Luke chapter number 18, verse 35 through 43, you'll find that Christ is on his way entering into the city of Jericho, and there he meets one blind man on his way in the city, and he heals him. You'll find that in Matthew 20, verse 29 through 34, and as Christ is exiting from the same city, Jericho, there are 2 men that are blind, and they're saying something like this: "Hosanna, and Son of David, have mercy upon us." And you'll find that he healed 2 men upon his exit from Jericho. One of those men, we are told, is that most famous blind man miracle in all the Word of God, the healing of blind Bartimaeus. And Christ had healed him early in Christ's ministry in John chapter number 9. And really the entirety of the chapter, verses 1 through 41, there's a man that has been born blind that they bring to the Lord. The Lord spits upon the ground. He makes mud out of the spittle. He rubs it upon the man's eyes, sends him to the pool of Siloam, commanding him to wash. And the Bible said, when he went to the pool of Siloam and washed the mud out of his eyes, that he immediately could see. And if you know anything about your Bible, anything about John chapter number 9, you're going to find that Brother Riley then set off a debate and a war between Christ and the Pharisees. They had debated, is this man blind? Did he do something, or did his parents do something? And Jesus said, I'll tell you why this man was born blind. It wasn't his fault or his parents' fault, but it was so that the Son of God could be glorified. Hey man, that blindness had been sovereignly orchestrated for that hour and for Christ's life to bring sight to that blind man and magnify him as the Son of God. And so they get mad and they come to him and they say, tell us who it is. The Pharisees do. They say, Brother Larry, tell us who it is that healed you. And that man gave the famous answer. He said, I don't know who he was. I have no idea what his name even is. I don't know where he came from or where he went. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. And that's where the line from the famous song among of the faith, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. And that man said, I don't know. I couldn't see him. All I know is he put his touch on me, told me to wash, and now I have my sight. And then we come to the final one, which is found, final one as far as we're concerned today. That brings us to the text. It's found in Mark chapter number 8, where we find a blind man, a singular blind man from a place, or has been brought to a particular place known as Bethsaida, and Christ is going to make him to see. This miracle is unique for many reasons. You'll find that, and maybe I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but as I've already drawn your attention, this is only recorded in the gospel according to Mark. Mark's the only one that gives us, and so it's unique in that regard. It's unique in regard that that when it come to the other seven men that had been touched by the Master, or spoke to by the Master, or commanded the Master to go wash, that this is the only one whose sight was not immediately restored by a singular touch, a singular word, or a singular command that Christ gave. When we come to this text, as we read it, we find that Christ leads him out of, takes him by the hand, leads him out of town. He spits upon his eyes. He touches him. And Christ does something he never done in any other miracle, particularly that of healing the blind. He asked him, can you see? He didn't ask him that because Christ didn't know. He's the Son of God. He knows what he's doing. He didn't ask him that because he doubted his own power, that he was weak and maybe he's too tired to perform this miracle. He's asking him that for a reason. We'll get to that in a moment. And then upon a second touch from the Master's hand, we find Christ makes him look up, and immediately the Bible said, after the second touch, the man's sight was restored and that he could then see clearly. I'm not preaching on this. I thought about preaching this text in light of that thought on touch me again, Lord. Hey man, how many days do we live our life and we're just not seeing, we're not focused like we ought to be focused, but I'm glad that we have a Savior, hey man, who can touch us again. Hey man, if there's any handicaps in my life spiritually, if there are any limitations to my spiritual life today, it is not the fault of my Savior and my Lord. It is something in me, or some lesson He wants me to learn, or something unique that He is doing for those that are watching. But know this, a child of God, wherever you may be, however you may be handicapped, wherever you may be blinded, wherever you are limited today, I'm telling you, it's nothing that another touch on the Master's hand cannot fix in our life. Hallelujah. I ain't a preaching on that, but I could cut loose here. I'm glad He touched me, and I'm glad He touched me again. I'm glad He touches me again and again and again, and He helps me become what I need to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Now, put that on pause for a moment. Each of these miracles, the blind men being healed by the Lord, each of them has an application to how the Bible walks us through and teaches us, likening the sinner's spiritual condition to blindness. That is something you find throughout the Word of God. That men, you may be born with perfect sight physically, but you are born into spiritual blindness. You are spiritually born in the dark. You're born outside of the light. You need the light to come. You need the light to be turned on. You need your eyes to be open so that you can see clearly the Son of God, or you can see clearly the God gospel so you can see clearly the path of holiness, or you can see clearly what God has intended for your life. So sinners in the Word of God, they have this spiritual condition and is likened to every physical miracle Jesus ever did for those in blindness. Let me list some things out this morning. You say, preacher, how are they blind? Some this morning are satanically blind. Satanically blinded. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians, rather, chapter number 4, verse number 4, where Paul is speaking about the light. And if it be hid, it is hid from them who the God of this world had blinded their eyes, lest they should see the truth. The God of this world, satanically blinded. Do you understand today that the devil wants to keep you blinded to the gospel? He wants to keep you blinded to Christ. He wants to blind your eyes this morning to what this preacher in his feeble attempt is to preach Christ to you. He's going to do all he can to keep you blinded. He'll put a spell of sleepiness on you. Amen. He'll put other things in your eye view that agitate you or bother you. And he'll offer you the world in attempt to keep you blinded to that that would be the saving of your never dying soul. And some today, they have been blinded by the God of this world. Some this morning, they are religiously blinded. It's interesting that when you study the word blind and blinded and the subject of blindness in the Word of God, that there is a particular chapter that is overrun with that theme. It's found in Matthew chapter number 23. In Matthew chapter number 23, boy, I didn't know this is going to preach like this, but I'm glad it is. In Matthew chapter 23, we come to Christ, the confrontation with the Pharisees. They have been confronting him for 3.5 years. And now he's going to flip the script and he comes to where they are. And it's one of the most stern rebukes. In fact, the most stern rebuke, the most stern message Christ ever preached. He preached to those who were religious, those known as scribes and Pharisees. 5 times in that message that Christ gave, he uses the word blind. He said, I tell you what you are, you're blind. I tell you what you are, you're blind guides. He called them blind Pharisees. He said, what we have going on around here is nothing more than the blind leading the blind. Christ was speaking of the fact and there are those that can be not only satanically blinded, but they can be religiously blinded. They can know some of what the Scripture says. They can know they're supposed to be in the house of God. They can even do a lot of religious activity and good deeds. But if they have not come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and who He is, and the gospel that He has given, which is the power of God and the salvation of every man, it's not our heritage, it's not our inheritance, it's not our experience, it's not even our profession, then it is anchored in and only in Christ alone. If you're religious today without Christ, nothing wrong with being religious. There is a true and undefiled religion the Bible speaks of. But my friend, religion that is void of Christ, religion that is void of a change of heart and a change of mind, a religion that is only external and outward, measuring your salvation, oh, I don't do A, B, and C, and I don't go X, Y, and Z. My friend, oh no, if you ask me why I'm saved today, how do you know that you're saved? I have to be honest and say, I know I'm saved because there was a day the Spirit of God showed me I was a sinner and showed me the wages of sin was death. I believed that I deserved the depths of the pains of hell and the wrath of Almighty God forever. And I turned on myself. I turned from my sin. I put my faith in the Lord Lord Jesus Christ. I called on Him and He said that He would save me. Amen. If somebody asks you, how do you know you're saved? If that answer begins anything and has anything with the word I in it, you ain't saved. How do you know you're saved? Wait a minute. I ain't got nothing to do with you. Got to do everything with the man, a mediator, the man, and between God and men, Christ Jesus. He paid my debt. He came to where I was. He pulled me out of the muck and the mire. He changed my life. I'm not religiously blinded anymore. Jesus is my salvation. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching. Some this morning are satanically blinded. I can tell I ain't going to get done with this. Would that be all right? Let me just preach this out. We need the gospel. I can kind of preach this out and we'll get to where we want to be. Notice with me, some are satanically blinded, some are religiously blinded. Did you understand, if you understand the Word of God, do you understand that some are willfully blinded? They've been given the truth. They've been given the unadulterated Word of God. They've been told how to be saved. They've been commanded how to live. And it's so interesting to me that men go on in blindness. Some are satanically blinded and some are religiously blinded, but there are others that are absolutely willfully blinded. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 13 and in verse number 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. And it's hardened. It's wax hardened. It's gross. And their ears are dull of hearing. Listen now. And their eyes they have closed. You know what Jesus said? They've come to the Lord. They said, why are you speaking in parables? He said, I'm speaking in parables because there's a certain crowd that has been given so much truth, have been given so much that is right, have been commanded what the Word of God said. They have turned from it. They have shut it off. They have trampled it under their feet. And now I'm going to speak in parables because I'm going to hide the very truth they are willfully blinded about. They were not satanically blinded. They were not religiously blinded. They had the privilege of seeing the light. They had the privilege of the presentation of truth being brought into their vision. And now Jesus said, they have closed their eyes.
Yes, sir.
Yes. There are some people today that make statements like, I just can't see it. I don't see what the big deal is. I'm going to tell you why you don't. You're willfully blinded. You can't tell me you can sit in a church like this and truth being given and a word of God being poured out by the measures. I'm not saying it's done in great oratory style, but the truth is given and it's given and it's given and the light is shined and you're given every opportunity. We don't preach our opinions. We don't preach our dogmas and our creeds and we don't preach on how we feel and we don't preach one thing one day and 12 months down the road we're preaching something else. You around here, you get the Word of God, as the old timers would say, gun barrel straight. I understand, and we'll get into some things, maybe not this morning, maybe tonight, amen, but especially, and let me just stay on key, Those that are in a spiritual darkness as sinners are blinded, and many are willfully blinded today.
That's right.
Say, how do you know? Because I preach every at least three times a week, every week of my life.
Yes, sir.
And when you say open your Bible, and they began to fall asleep, and they began to act so disinterested, they won't bring their Bible. They if they bring it, they don't open it. They're so involved in so many distractions. You know what that person is doing? They're showing they're willfully blinded and have no desire for the truth. They're closing their eyes from the truth. And you may be willfully blinded today, but you're going to answer to the Lord. Amen. For that, for verse number 16 of Matthew 13 says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Jesus said, there's a crowd that is willfully blinded. He said, "But fellas, I'm telling you, you don't know how blessed you are that you have been able to see. Your eyes have been able to take it in. You have embraced the truth and the gospel and have been converted. You are blessed in that your eyes see." And I say this morning, I'm glad I'm not willfully blinded anymore, Brother David. I'm glad I'm not turned away from the truth. I'm glad I'm not in the darkness. Are you listening to me? I'm glad I'm not in the darkness. I'm not in the night. Thank God I've been brought in the night. My blinders have been taken off. Thank God my will has been broken. I once was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God for the day. I got tired of being in the dark. I got tired of turning away from the gospel. Thank God, and the light came on. You know why men are willfully blinded today? Jesus said that men love darkness. They love the blindness. Rather than light, being able to see. Why? Jesus said their deeds are evil. I didn't say it. Don't get mad at me. Don't let your blood pressure go up on my account. I ain't the one that said it. Jesus said, being willfully blind, will not come to the light. Will not. That implies to me the light has been shown. Something has been given to shed light. They will not. It's a matter of will. Some of y'all in the spiritual condition you are because that's your will being played out in your life. Willfully blinded. I wouldn't go to hell for none of the pleasures and sin that I loved more than the light. I wouldn't leave here today being willfully blinded. Amen, I'd come to the light. Amen, spiritual condition of sinners. Boy, I'd bog down. Amen, let me give you one more. There's four of them I found. Maybe there's more. Amen, some of you theologians, you give me more. If there's more, I miss it. And some are satanically blinded. Some are religiously blinded. Some are willfully blinded. Do you understand this in the Word of God? Some are sovereignly blinded. That's the worst kind of blindness a man can reach. When God leaves you blind. Say, so why in the world would the Lord do such a thing? The Lord loves everybody. You better believe He loves everybody. The Lord loves everybody. The Lord wants all men to be saved. And that's why He puts a red-headed, fireball preacher in the pulpit in this place to preach to you today. I warn you, there's a hell to shine and a heaven to gain. There's a path of sin and one of salvation, a narrow road and a broad road. And you've got to make up your mind that you're going to embrace the truth. Amen. But those who go on being willfully blinded ultimately reach a place where they are sovereignly blinded. John 12, verse number 40, verse number 39, therefore they could not believe. Remember, we was just dealing a moment ago, they will not. They will not. Now Jesus has them hemmed up in a place where he said, therefore they could not believe. Because then Isaiah said again, he, God, had blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes. Jesus said, you've gone on, and he's dealing with the Pharisees. He's dealing with those satanically blinded and religiously blinded, but worst of all in this realm, willfully blinded. And now the light of the world has come to them. A one that had been prophesied, that was said, he's come to open your blinded eyes. He can open your blinded eyes. And miracle after miracle, eight men and many, many others can stand throughout the land and say, that man right there can open blinded eyes. For every blind Bartimaeus that had received their physical sight, there was in that man an illustration of the spiritual blindness that sinners are in, and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring them out.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Some today, they are blinded in the first three ways. And I don't know where the line is. I don't know how far down the road the line is. I would say this morning, I suppose this would be right, that line is marked at different places for every person in here. But there is a line drawn somewhere by a sovereign God. That you can step over and God says enough is enough. If you want to be blinded, I will blind you. Could illustrate it in the Old Testament. I didn't mean to park here. It's fine. I know where we're at, and I'm going to preach just a minute longer and I'll be done. You come back tonight, we'll get in Mark chapter number 8. In the Old Testament, the Bible said, in the story of the exodus of the Israelites out of Egypt, the Bible said Pharaoh hardened his heart. Over and over and over, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then you come to a place where the Bible said the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. In other words, Pharaoh could have been converted. Pharaoh could have fallen in line with the commands the Lord had given, because he kept hardening his heart. He kept hardening his heart. He kept hardening his heart. Somewhere God had drawn the line, and when Pharaoh stepped across it, God said, you'll never be tender again. You'll never hear it again. I am going to harden your heart, and you will die with a hardened heart. That's why we preach so urgently. Now is the accepted time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Don't leave here blind. Don't leave here in the same spiritual darkness and blindness that you've left. You've been given enough light already this morning to call the whole world to salvation. There's enough gospel being preached right here where you sit, and the entire world can be saved. Here you are sitting around the light. Here you are within a hand's reach of the Master who can turn the light on and bring you into sight. If you decide again to walk out, you're saying, I'm going to remain in my blindness. Somewhere down the road, maybe it'll be the threshold of this service you cross over. And God says, enough is enough. No longer is it about you will not. I'm drawing a line, and now you cannot. Ain't that sad? What is the answer? And I've already preached it through as we've dealt with the spiritual condition. of a sinner in blindness. This is one of the miracles of Christ healing the many blind people. Represent to you and I the sinner's spiritual condition in darkness and in blindness. And they're satanically blind and religiously blinded and willfully blinded and they're sovereignly blinded. I want to say to you this morning, the sinner's condition in the spiritual blindness, it reveals that they are in the dark and only by the miraculous power of Christ and His gospel can a man, a woman be brought into the light or into sight. The Apostle Paul stood in front of King Agrippa in a court there that day. He was going to give an answer for his life and for his ministry. Rather than bellyache about how unfair it was that they had imprisoned him and that the government was taking his rights and squashing him as a Christian, he said, "I think myself happy. I'm glad to give you an answer today for why I do what I do and why I go the way that I go." And he began to communicate the fact that there was a day in his life where he was headed out to do what sinners do and to persecute the church of the living God. And there he said, "I was met by the Lord Jesus, and a bright light did shine upon me. And oh, what a conversion Saul of Tarsus had. And what a change the Lord made in his life, bringing out of Saul, the old man, into Paul, the new man." But here's what he said in Acts 26. I believe it's verse number 17. He said, "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee." This is what Paul is saying. The Lord said to me, "I'm going to send you to the Gentiles." What is Paul supposed to be doing? What is the Lord going to do through the ministry of that man of God? He said, "To open their eyes." To open their eyes. Why? Because they're blinded. And to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul said, "I've got a ministry, and that ministry is to run up and down the road in the highways and the hedges, and to go to where the Gentiles and heathens and pagans and those blind men and women and boys and girls are. And God is working through me to open their eyes." What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Christ and Christ alone and His gospel message is the only hope for those that are spiritually blinded. Devil got you blinded? Jesus can turn you from the power of Satan. Are you religiously blinded? Jesus can turn your heart, bring you out of the blindness of religion, give to you eternal life through His name. Are you willfully blinded? Why would you leave in that shape after all that He's done, after all He's provided, after all the grace and mercy and opportunities and long suffering that the Lord has exhibited to your life? Why would you leave here willfully blinded today? Amen. There's always hope for you to see till you cross the line, become sovereignly blinded. Amen. Well, how we doing? We got any sinners in the building today? You couldn't see what the choir was singing about. You can't see what I'm preaching about. Some of you can't see what your parents have been trying to pour in your life. Some of you can't see what your man of God labors and prays for and preaches and tries to stir you to do. Could it be because you are blinded? Now you're going to have to get honest. Here's one thing I can tell you without a fact. Every blind man that Jesus ever healed had to admit they were blind. What good? And they had to get tired of being blind.
Amen.
It don't do them no good fumbling around going, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. You're going to kill yourself. It ain't as bad as you say it is. Wham! You get run over by a Mack truck. Yes, it is. Being spiritually blind is a detriment to where you spend eternity.
Amen.
And only Jesus, Jesus' touch, Jesus' word, Jesus' command, only what Jesus can do for you will cause you to ever have spiritual sight. Amen. Candy's coming to the piano. I'm done. Let me just unfold this here. Mark chapter number 8 in the miracle of the blind man here that is brought to Christ in Bethsaida. Jack, it is unique, as I've already pointed out, in that it was not an instantaneous healing. There's a progression to it. Progression. He got him by the hand, led him out, spit on him, touched him, said, "Can you see?" Well, I can see a little better than I did, but men look like trees walking. Now, you know what we derive from that? Evidently, this man was not born blind.
Yes, sir.
He knew what trees look like, and he knew what men was supposed to look like.
Yes, sir.
That makes sense?
Yes, sir.
So this man has had something happen to him since he was born with sight and lived with it long enough to discern he knows a tree from a man and what they're supposed to look like, and men ain't supposed to look like trees. And trees ain't supposed to be walking around. So Lord, yeah, I can see a little better than I could, but it still ain't right. Jesus touches him again. Brings him into clear, perfect 2020 vision.
Yes, God.
There is a sense, I won't run it all this morning. There is a sense when you study the subject of blindness in the Word of God, it is without a doubt a spiritual condition of every sinner. They are blind and cannot see afar off. They can't see anything. If you'll come back tonight, I'll show you there is a spiritual condition in which a child of God can enter in again to spiritual blindness. I didn't say lose their salvation. I can take that Bible and show you where Jesus Christ and God, through the men who wrote the Word of God, dealt with Christians, a singular child of God, and even a church with being blind. So here's what I want to deal with. I preached all that this morning to get to the thought. In this miracle, I think we find, and I'll prove it to you even in context, he's doing this. He could have healed that boy with the first touch. When he spit on his eyes, touched him, he could have said, "Now you're healed," never had to ask him, and confidently declared it. Why did he do it the way he did it? He's doing it because remember what he said last week when we was preaching on Leave the 11 Alone? He said to his disciples, "Do you having eyes, can you not see?" They couldn't see because they were being blinded by silly, stupid little things. He rebuked them for that. Now he brings them, and in this place, Bethsaida, he performs this miracle outside of those city limits to show them, watch it now, sometimes saints need their sight back.
Amen.
If you come back tonight, I'll preach the church, I'll preach the center today. Is that okay? You come back tonight, I'm preaching on Mark 8 on when saints need sight.
Amen.
Some of you today, you're saved, but you can't see spiritually for nothing in the world. Everything's out of focus. Come on now. It's all blurry. Preacher, I don't know. Jesus does not want you to remain in that condition. There are times we as children of God need the Lord to come put His hands on our eyes again. Help clear up things that we're having trouble with. You don't get it by doing this. Do that all day long. And so, boy, I don't know telling how many times he's rubbed his eyes and squinted and tried his best to see. There are some things only Jesus can do for His children when saints need sight. Amen.